chapter 11 of Hebrews. And I mentioned to you about their faith and how that they did not lose heart, that they kept pressing on, they kept moving forward, they stood firm. And that's the first thing that I want to encourage you today with, is that our faith is about standing. It's about standing. You know, today's society, especially our culture, this is not a culture that stands for truth. It's a culture that stands for what they want. It's a culture that stands for how they feel and what's going to make them feel better and how they can justify themselves and what they can stand up for in this life to make them feel better about themselves. It's not about truth. It's not about faith. But let me ask you, what is your definition of faith? How do you define faith? Because that ultimately is going to determine how you respond to God. The religious world, and these young people, they always get this from me because I'm teaching them all the time, and they hear this constantly. If you were to go up to Abby Hamilton or many others that have taught, that I've taught in the past, they will immediately know the answer to this question. And many of you do too. You've heard me say it before, but it is so extremely fundamental and so extremely important that we have to start with that. What is your definition of faith? What is it? You see, faith to the religious world, for the most part, is something that you believe in. You believe in. You believe in God. You believe in his saving grace. You believe that he sent his son to die for you. And as long as you have him somewhere in your life, they say in your heart, but you know, sometimes you have to question, and I'm not here judging. God's going to be the judge. God's going to be the judge. But you have to wonder sometimes if it's just words. The sinner's prayer is nowhere to be found in the scriptures, you know, but yet that's how they enter by their faith into Christ. You know, they say, ask Jesus in your heart. Well, that's in Romans 10. It's there. But it's only one scripture. There's so many others. And this is not a sermon about salvation, but I do want you to understand that the definition that you have of faith is fundamental to your everyday Christian walk. In a world, in a culture where truth does not count, truth is relative, truth is something that you do not hold on to because it could be different tomorrow. You know, if you follow what's going on in the science field and in the biological field, every single day they're coming up with new things. It's interesting because some of those are actually heading more towards God, but some of them are not. You know, they have a new definition of the Big Bang, or they have a new way of explaining the theory of relativity, or, you know, that after all these years and years and years of Einstein's theory of, what is it? Relativity? They finally determined that it's true. I mean, it's constantly changing. And some of those things are not a bad idea. Some of those things are a good concept that we're always moving forward. We're always striving to better ourselves. We're always striving to learn. But the problem is that you cannot adapt that to your faith in God. Because faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. When we think about truth in this day, when it's relative to everything that you want it to be, then there's nothing to stand on. You don't stand on anything if that's your definition of faith. But we need to be standing. We are commanded to stand firm. In Ephesians 4, it goes through, or Ephesians 6, it goes through all of the elements of the armor that we are to put on as Christians. Two times in there it says, stand. Stand. The helmet of righteousness, or the breastplate of righteousness, the be girded with help me guys, I'm struggling here. The sword of truth. All of these things are a part of the armor that we are to put on. And when we put this armor on, then we have a way to stand firm. And it's about our faith. We need to be standing firm in our faith in this day and age. Truth is not relative. Truth is real. It is absolute. And we need to believe it and live it. So when we talk to someone about homosexuality and where it's at in the scriptures, I'll give you, for instance, I was talking to my son Jacob yesterday, and we were just trying to figure out, you know, how all this stuff happens. You know, homosexuality is no different sin than all the other sins that we have. So we're not to treat them disrespectfully. But they cannot justify it and say the truth is relative, which is what they're doing. I was telling Jacob that I read an article that this Episcopalian pastor, who she has come out as a lesbian, and she has justified through scripture, and it is right down the line, exactly to the point, how she wants to justify her way of life. She pulls scripture here, pulls scripture here, pulls scripture here, and then twists history and makes it be what she wants it to be. Have you guys heard lately that even our history of our nation is relative? It's not necessarily really the way it happened. So much right now is happening in our world that if we do not take a stand, if we do not stand firm in our faith, stand firm in your faith, we will lose truth. We will lose God's truth in our lives. And we will waver. And we will be able to justify our lives. However we want to justify, whatever we want to do, we'll be able to do it. This is nothing new, but it's happening more and more in our culture today. And we, as Christians, are becoming the minority in this society. We are. Isn't that sad? I mean, so many of us are living the lives of immigrants in this nation because we're a nation of immigrants. But you know what? As Christians, we're even further down the line because of what we're talking about with this idea of truth. Doesn't matter what nation you come from. Doesn't matter what skin color you have. Doesn't matter where you grew up, where you were born. If you're in this nation, you are an American citizen. You are an American. You are a part of America. You are a part of this nation. But you know what's sad about that? Is this nation is not what it was founded on now. We've gotten so far away from it, truth has become relative. And as Christians, we are now the minority. And if we don't want to be the minority, then we need to stand firm. We need to stand firm in our faith. The second thing is that we need to strive for our faith. Striving for our faith is something that is not easy to do. Colossians chapter 1, the end of the chapter, Paul talks about Christ and the preeminence of Christ and how everything was created by him and for him and through him. It was him why we are here. He was then raised from the dead and put at the throne, and so now everything is under his feet, and we are his people, his kingdom, his bride. And Paul is saying, I struggle daily with the power of Christ which is in me. He just commended the Colossians about their faith. But then he's showing them by his example that he has to strive for it. You know, if faith is just words, then what happened in John chapter 3 where it says, let us not love with word, with tongue or word, but in truth and in action. In truth and in action. If faith is just about words and just about our belief and about saying, yeah, I have him in my heart. You know, and I go to church every Sunday and I sit in the pews and I listen and I might read a scripture every now and then and I might, wow, you're here. I just saw you. It's awesome. And I might do the things that make me look like a good person, but when it comes to actually living a Christian life that makes a difference, not so sure about that. You see, grace is free. It's a free gift. God's love is free. It's given to all. That's why we're still here. If it wasn't for that, we'd all be dead. We deserve it. But faith is our part. Faith is where we come in, and it is not just words. James chapter 2 tells us faith without works is dead. You cannot live one way and say something else. We have to be consistent. We have to be full of truth. We have to be living our lives consistently in Christ with faith, struggling to do God's will. If you love me, Jesus says, you will do what I command. So many times, you know, when I talked about fear of God back in the fall, and so many people were touched by that. I was touched by that. I still to this day am touched by the idea that we do not fear God enough. But that fear is something that is an awesome dread, because when you're in Christ, when you're in God, when you're in His kingdom, when you're a part of that, that fear is different. Yes, they fell over when they saw the face of God. Yes, they were prostrate. Yes, they were humbled. Yes, they were changed. But their lives showed it by the way that they lived. Faith takes struggle. It takes struggle. This life is not easy. I mean, just this week, just look at what happened. You know, you had Mike Peterson go down with a stroke. And then, I mean, he's already struggling with diabetes. He had a kidney transplant. He is blind. He struggles every day just to exist. And he goes down with a stroke. And then his wife, who is striving to keep their family moving, trying to keep everything together, trying to keep paying the bills, trying to keep moving forward, has a very stressful job. By the way, I don't know if any of you know, she is a principal in the Harrisburg School District. I wouldn't take that job for anything. I'm sorry. It's just, I mean, that's a stressful job. So Pia has this job because she, you know, can then make up for what most of us have, a dual income, doesn't have that anymore. So she's doing the best she can. And then she goes into the hospital with congestive heart failure, and she is young. She's not old. That's an old person's problem. And Larry brought up in class this morning, you know, that her attitude is such that, you know, she knows that God doesn't give her more than she can handle. She says she's on the edge. We've had other members of the family who have had friends and family members pass away. Just very recent, very recent. Life is not fun. It's not fun for the most part. It's just not. It's a struggle. Our faith is no different. But if we don't want to be tossed to and fro by the winds that blow, then we need to stand firm and we need to strive with our faith. We need to strive daily daily to make our faith the most important part of our day. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. The greatest of these is love, because God is love. And that's the direction we're going. And faith is what gets us started. Faith is what gets us going. But we have to have something to keep us moving forward. And that struggle is not easy. You see, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction, are you kidding me? What Pia and Mike are going through right now, are you kidding me? What some of us have been through in our life, momentary light affliction, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is this. Right, Abby? Faith is this, right here. It's trust conjoined with obedience. You cannot have one without the other. You have to have both. When you talk to your friends out there that are believing that baptism is not necessary for salvation, when they're saying that all you have to do is be a good person, when they're saying that all you have to do is believe in Jesus, when you're saying that all they have to do is say the sinner's prayer, when you're talking to your friends out there and you're trying to plant the seed, you have to start with faith, and they have to understand what biblical faith is, and it is trust in God that He will not only take you home to be with Him if you walk the life that He's asked you to walk, but that He will do, if you don't, what He says He will do, and send you to hell. Trusting in Him to fulfill His promises in every way keeps us walking in the right direction. But then when we combine that with obedience, that's real faith. That says, you know what, I trust you enough, God, that every walk that I make, every step that I take, everything that I do is about you. It's about you, God, not about me. When I was praying about this morning, I don't want to make this about me because it's not, but I struggle so much sometimes with my health that I just don't know how I'm going to do. And I'm not doing great. I know that this morning. But hopefully God is getting something through to you. And I asked Him, I said, just don't let it be me. Don't let it be my words. Let it be your words. And you know what? That's what He is saying to you and me this morning, that you have to obey me. And then I will fulfill every promise. Do you have to walk perfectly? No, that's what grace is about. We are saved by grace, not by our works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians chapter 2. However, we have to walk. 1 John tells us we have to walk. Romans tells us we have to walk. Not just talk the talk. And it takes work. So with our faith, we have to strive. But what keeps us moving is that hope. So the third thing is faith that comes from hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. We have peace. We have peace with God, our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope in the glory of God. And not only so, but we hope. Wrong words. Getting ahead of myself. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Because our sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. You think Charlie, really deep down in his heart, now you can ask him this afterwards because amazingly he's here. You think that he really, really, with the way he's feeling right now, wants to go to Ghana? Probably in his heart he does, but physically he doesn't. I don't know that for sure. I haven't talked to him. But you know what? Our physical ailments do have an impact on us. They do. There's struggles that we have to constantly overcome. There's stuff that in this life you have to overcome. Divorces, deaths, you know, problems with our kids, problems with our mates, problems with our jobs. It's a constant struggle in this life. And to overcome those things, you have to persevere. You have to have hope in something that is greater than this life. And that's why I don't understand how people can live out there in the world and go through everything that they go through and yet not have God to hold on to. How in the world? But we do have something to hold on to. Something that is so far greater than anything that we can imagine. There's no comparison to it. So whatever your struggle is this morning, stand firm in your faith. Strive to make it greater and stronger. And pray to God that He will help your unbelief and hope in that faith. Hope in that faith. I want to read you a passage of Scripture and then the lesson's yours. And I wasn't sure exactly where to start this. So I'm just going to start halfway through. This is Ephesians chapter 1, which we've already talked about briefly. But this is Paul's thanksgiving and prayer for the Ephesians. Starting verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power, listen to this. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We have a living hope, Peter tells us through the Holy Spirit. A living hope that is far greater than gold. We have something that we can hold on to that is an assurance. It is steadfast. It is solid. And it's based on our faith. It's based on our faith. So stand firm in your faith. Strive to make your faith stronger. And hope in that faith that God will reward us. Because he's poured out his love into our hearts through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us, that he will work as we strive through us to bring us home, to be with him. But we have to let him. We have to have the kind of faith that trusts and obeys. Thanks for listening. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing?